You're listening to Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the CG Sportsbook inside the Palms Casino Resort in Las Vegas, powered by O'Reilly Auto Parts, here's your host, Matt Perrault.
It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio, live in Vegas inside the CG Technology Sportsbook Palms Casino Resort. Let's get to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline and Mark Raimondi, MMAfighting.com, joining us. Big day in the UFC in New York. Big day with John Jones. We'll get to both topics. Mark, Matt Perrault, how are you?
What's up, Matt? How are you?
I'm wonderful. Big day for you guys today. I'm sure, and I know you guys have been covering this closely with Khabib and Conor going today in New York. I asked this question to Megan O'Leary on Monday, and she said that New York was a good stopping place for Conor before he ultimately comes to Vegas to finish up his camp for the fight on October the 6th here in Vegas. But given the probation for Conor after the Brooklyn incident, are you surprised the UFC has gone back to New York with Conor?
No, not at all. In fact, I think it's kind of almost poetic that the first press conference, the first face-to-face happens in New York after what happened in Brooklyn before UFC 223 in April. There's a little bit of a symmetry there. I kind of like it, but it was more just convenience, honestly. It wasn't really because of that. Like you said, Megan had I told you the other day, it is a stopping point for Conor to come to Vegas. There's actually no direct flight from Dublin to Vegas as far as I know. And New York is always kind of like a transfer place. So he gets to come here for a couple of days before heading there to finish out his camp for the big fight October 6th. And also, I mean, the tickets go on sale for UFC 230 at Madison Square Garden in just a few days here. So this is also working toward promoting that card in New York. So it kind of works out for them on two levels.
Well, more on that headline fight here in just one second, which we may hear today from Dana White. But what are you expecting from the press conference today from Conor and Khabib? Because as far as I can tell, it's just going to be Dana White, Conor, and Khabib Nurmagomedov on the stage together, talking, taking questions from the media. It's not open to the press. Will there be other fighters on the card on stage, or just three people and that's it?
No, just three people, and I think that's the right move because there are very good fights on this card, but with those two guys, with Conor and Khabib up there, they're probably the only ones who will get 99% of the questions. It's the first time they've really promoted this fight. It's the first time Conor has done like any real media in about a year, you know, since the Mayweather fight. So it's kind of I think it's the right move to just have those guys up there. As far as what to expect, Matt, that's a tough question because you don't really know with McGregor and Khabib. I think that I tried to ask earlier this week the Radio City personnel about added security. They didn't give me a straight answer on it, but I hope there is added security on the dais because both of those guys have shown us over the years that they're not afraid to throw down before they get into the octagon or after they get into the octagon or any time outside the octagon. We've seen Conor McGregor at press conferences throw cans of Monster Energy. You know, we've seen him throw a dolly at a bus. We've seen Khabib Nurmagomedov get into it with Nate Diaz and his crew during a World Series of Fighting fight night inside the arena. So there is volatility there, and I think that's part of the reason, Matt, why they're not opening up to the public, because the best you can do is limit the amount of craziness there could possibly be, and limit the amount of people who could possibly get in. And the last thing you want is a veritable gang war on that stage.
It's a great point. And the entourage is what Megan O'Leary brought up on Monday. She said, you know, I have no worries about Conor and Khabib because they are going to be getting paid in a couple of weeks. So they'll settle their beef in 3 weeks. The entourage is a different story. And that's what happened at 202, the press conference for Nate Diaz, when Nick and the entourage for the Diaz brothers walked into the press conference, and then Nate got up and walked off the stage. That's when things got crazy because it was the entourage yelling at Conor to get Conor going. And then we saw the Monster Energy drinks and the water bottles flying and bouncing off of the walls and whatnot. So do you think the UFC is going to be cognizant of that and trying to keep the entourages at bay?
I think that's part of the reason, and they won't say that. The reason that I was given is that because this is the first press conference, it's the only one they've done to this point. They want the media to get as much content as they can without fan interference. I don't know if I really buy that because you know, as we know, the UFC is going to try to promote this fight the best they can to not just the media but also the public. So I think it probably has to do, I'm speculating, but I think it mostly has to do with limiting the amount of people who can get in. And when I say that, I mean people from both camps that could possibly incite some type of extracurricular activity up there.
Yeah, with Connor on probation, too. You just don't want to play around with that. Mark Romandi.
Yeah, exactly.
MMAFighting.com joining us here on Pushing the Odds. All right, so to Jon Jones. Jon Jones had his suspension announced last night by USADA. It's a 15-month suspension that puts him in line to fight again with the UFC as early as UFC 230. You made mention about the announcement of the headliner coming up today later on. We'll get to that news in a second. But do you believe that Jon Jones turned state's evidence and essentially became an informer on other fighters with PED allegations or PED usage to get his suspension reduced?
Well, that is essentially, to sum it up, that's kind of what USADA put in their press release, and that was in what the arbitrator's decision that was released yesterday. They cited what they call the substantial assistance clause. It's part of the UFC anti-doping policy. I was aware of it, but it's the first time that I've seen it in any kind of USADA decision or arbitrator's decision. And yeah, it basically means that you can get a substantially reduced sentence, a substantially reduced sanction, if you cooperate on another case with either USADA, another anti-doping body, a criminal investigation, anything like that. If you're able to help in some way, they will give you a substantially reduced sanction. And that's what happened with Jon Jones. He got 30 months off what would have been a four-year suspension because of that clause. And they won't say what his information was about, who it was about. That is kept confidential, but that is the part of the UFC's policy they cited in the decision last night.
So if you're a teammate or a past teammate of Jon Jones, how are you feeling today?
Well, we don't know. Again, we don't know what he knows. We don't know what he told USADA. We really have no idea. It would be a lot to speculate on. It may not be a teammate. It could be something completely different. It may not be a fighter. It may not be doping. Like I said, it could also be some kind of a criminal investigation. We don't really know. There's far too much leeway. There's far too much vagary in that release yesterday to really speculate on what it could be. I don't think Jon Jones is out here informing on his teammates. I think it could be something else, but we really don't know.
All right, so do you expect today that Jon Jones will be announced as the headliner for the fight for 230. Is that the headline announcement coming from Dana White, that it will be Jon Jones, Gustafsson, Jon Jones, Brock Lesnar, Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier, somebody today?
I thought for sure that it would be, but there have been multiple reports, including Dana White himself, saying that Jon Jones won't actually be in the main event at UFC 230. Ariel Helwani reported that as well. There are no plans. And Ariel Helwani, my former colleague at MMA Fighting, he's not usually wrong about these things. So I, as much as I thought for sure it would be, it seems like that may not be the direction they're going. I will say this, though, Matt. It is curious that Jon Jones would have gotten an 18-month suspension from USADA. That would have been his suspension. But he took it to arbitration anyway to try to get an even further reduced suspension. And, of course, he did get that reduced suspension that put eligible literally days before UFC 230 in New York, where he's from. He's from upstate. He's always talked about headlining a show at the Garden. So, I mean, that is certainly a coincidence, and it's certainly convenient that he's able to get off from the suspension just days before that big fight. So maybe it is a coincidence, but I don't know if I believe in coincidences.
And no offense to Dana White, but he literally did the same thing with Khabib and Conor. He actually lied directly to John Morgan in the press conference before he made the announcement at that same press conference for Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov. So
That's absolutely right.
So I can't really buy that if UFC people are saying, you know, hey, by the way, there's no headliner, and given Ariel's history with Dana White and breaking, you know, Brock Lesnar stories, it wouldn't put it past me. I wouldn't put it past the UFC to lie and to leak out fake information to people. So everyone is surprised today that it is Jon Jones versus Brock Lesnar or Jon Jones versus Gustafsson. If Jon Jones
is
fighting,
it cannot be Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar is still under.
Oh, right. It's January. I forgot. Thank you. Yes, that's right. So it can't be Brock. So is it Gustafsson? Is that the most logical? If Jon Jones, let's say it's not MSG, let's say it's in Vegas at the end of the year in December, Is that the most logical fight for him if Cormier does not want to fight him?
Probably that is most logical, and I could see them doing an interim light heavyweight title for that fight, or maybe even stripping Daniel Cormier of the light heavyweight title and just making that for the undisputed belt, especially because Daniel Cormier is the heavyweight champion as well, and he's most likely going to fight Brock Lesnar early next year. Other possible candidates, and again, this is purely speculation, someone like maybe a Stipe Miocic would be a very interesting fight. If Jones were to go to heavyweight, then that would be a very, very interesting fight. Someone like a Anthony Rumble Johnson, if he returns to UFC, he's still, I believe, eligible to come back and fight. And another name that are out there, maybe like Cain Velasquez. If Jones goes to heavyweight, that's a possibility too. But I would say Alexander Gustafsson is probably the most likely candidate.
What is the market for John Jones right now? Obviously, we've seen athletes come off suspension and pick right back up where they left off. Fans have short-term memories, and a lot of times they just want to see fighters out there fighting. When he does ultimately come back and fight, is he a villain, or is he able to kind of recapture the star power that he once had?
Well, I think both things can be true, because Conor McGregor is a villain at this point, and he's loved and hated, and you have a strong feeling about him either way. And I think that John Jones could have that same kind of aura as he comes back. I think that I don't think this has done any damage to his star power. If anything, I believe that the time away, the curiosity around him, that bad boy image, has probably only increased the star power. I think John Jones is a bigger draw today than he was 2 or 3 years ago because of some of these outside the cage things. It works in mysterious ways, but I got asked about John Jones, Matt. I mean, at least once a week about his status since last year when that initial provisional suspension came down, that the failed drug test came down. At least once a week, and in the last few months, I would say I got asked about it almost every day. So there is certainly a curiosity, and there is a want and a desire to see him back in the octagon.
Mark, get you out of here on this. Does it hurt Daniel Cormier's legacy to be 0-2 against John Jones, and then having Jones come back and him saying, "I have no interest in fighting him a third time"?
It's hard to say. I don't think it'll hurt his legacy too much. I think that Daniel Cormier's legacy is now, especially with that win over Stipe Miocic at heavyweight, which is a victory that is completely independent of Cormier's story with John Jones, so to speak. It's completely independent of that. He won the heavyweight title fair and square. There's nothing you can say about that one. So I think that his legacy is set. Certainly, if Daniel Cormier were to come back and fight John Jones, whether that's at heavyweight or light heavyweight, before he retires and beats him, then I think that's hard to say that Dan Cormier is not the greatest of all time. So I don't know if he could really be considered the greatest of all time without having beaten Jones, but certainly I believe his legacy as one of the best of all time is already set, whether he fights him again or not.
Great stuff. Mark, thank you for the time. They really appreciate it. Big day in the UFC.
Of course. Thanks, man.
That is Mark Romandi, MMAFighting.com on the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. It's a big day. Big day. Press conference, 5 p.m. in New York Eastern Time. Streaming it everywhere, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. I will be watching. I hope you will be. We'll recap the whole thing tomorrow on the program. I'll be live tweeting it at Sports Talk Matt. I cannot wait to watch that press conference. My guess is it's going to start late. They're saying 5. My guess is like probably 2:30, 5:30. Maybe they'll be on time, but Connor is notorious for being late to these things, and it's sort of his mind game that he plays with his opponent that he never shows up on time. And it was one of the things that really ticked off Nate Diaz, and that's why they had that 2:02 press conference brawl, because Nate was irate that Connor showed up, I think it was 45 minutes late, that Conor McGregor showed up for that 2:02 press conference. We'll see what 2:29 looks like for Conor today in New York. More to come. It's Pushing the Odds, SB Nation Radio.